Very likely, in the same places, saying the same things twice. You know, like the first time he may have given it, as Matthew records, and some of the disciples got up and walked away. And then other disciples say, well, what's it going to be? What's the sign of the end? And then he gives it to them again, maybe in an abridged form. Maybe it was a little less the first time, a little more the second time. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Because I believe all this stuff was given by the Spirit and inspiration of God. Whether you can explain how it came or not, it is enough that for us who believe, to believe what is said. That's all. The parable of the fig tree is, I don't see it as so much as about Israel as about the things he said. When you see the things that I've said come to pass, you know that it's near. That's what he's saying here. There may be a cryptic meaning about Israel with the fig tree shooting forth leaves. That could be a cryptic meaning and a referral that was pointing to the future generation. But Jesus means the generation of these things. Maybe he means his own generation. It's like I said before, maybe it was contingent upon the promise that was coming. Or maybe whatever. There's all kinds of ways you could look at it. And to me, it's not important. Because obviously, it didn't happen in that generation. And Jesus isn't a liar. But he speaks the truth when understood in the context of what he's trying to say, what he's trying to communicate. And to me, that communicates to me a readiness. I want to be ready. I haven't seen the things coming to pass, but I want to be ready no matter what starts coming. No matter what, I'm going to be ready. Verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not till the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. They're going to be taken like the flood came to take them all away. They're going to be taken to the place where the birds devour their flesh. That's where they are taken. They're taken where the floodwaters go, where the floodwaters drown them, where the sword of the Lord comes forth to slay them, and the birds come down to light on the corpses. That's where they are taken. They're not taken away in a rapture. They're not taken away to safety. They're taken away to destruction. And the odd thing is that those who preach those things are oftentimes leading people who very well may be taken away to the slaughter because they're taken away and carried away of false doctrine. Heaven and earth are passing away, but the words of Christ shall not pass away. Time has passed. Times have changed. The modern age is over. The modern times have gone. Now we're in the postmodern time, and the preaching's a little different. I tell you, the times that are coming are changing. Things are changing. We shall see what's going to be, but we will be ready, because the word of Christ is not going to pass away. No matter what time we're living in. You know, they thought the end of God had come a century ago. God is dead. And all they meant is it's dead intellectually. And I don't care. Intellectuals were never called in the first place. They had this idea, what, that God wanted them? It's only because of the work of men like Augustine, who tried to combine Greek philosophy and wisdom with Christianity and made it a thing of the wise and a thing of the learned, when it's a thing for the common man, men of common speech, men whose words aren't so flowery. You know, I don't always speak so well. Sometimes my words get all jumbled up and I say, you know, you know, you know. Do you know? No man knows the day and the hour of Christ's return. Now, when the signs are coming, you're going to know it's coming. It's at the door. When you start seeing all these things come to pass, it's like the fig tree blossoming. It's not like you're totally surprised. You know, that's the thing. It's people think, oh, it's a total surprise. He can come at any time. No, it doesn't say he's going to come at any time. But the exact moment of his return is a mystery. And also, even perhaps Christ didn't even know the century of his return at this time. Maybe. He says, my Father only knows. Because things maybe were not completely revealed. The things were hid from his eyes. As the Son of God. You know, that God could hide things from God. Could God make a rock so heavy that God cannot lift it? Oh, he certainly could. That's my answer. Yes. Oh, then he's not all powerful. No, he's able to limit his power. You know, it's like He can make himself blind. In the person of the Son, he can be unaware of things. I mean, that's, you know, and if it's hard for us to comprehend, if our logic won't allow it, then it's our fault. That's the way I look at it. That I have a deficiency of understanding of how God could do things that seem impossible logically. Meaning, if he's all-powerful, how could he make himself un-all-powerful? If he's all-knowing, how could he make himself un-all-knowing? But there's a distinction between Father and Son. There's some sort of distinction. Though they are one, they're not one and the same. Though there's a bit of a mystery, Christ doesn't even know when he's coming back, exactly. Though he gives us a clear indication of how we will know what we are to look for. The book of Revelation as well. But I tell you right now, we're not in the end times. People have tried to calculate, oh, when it's coming, when it's going to start. Wrong so far. And I profess to you that I don't know. It could be in my generation. Jesus left. People always count the year 2000 from his birth, which to me is silly. I count 2,000 years from when he left. If you want him to come back on an even year, it should be sometime in the late 2020s. That would suit me fine. I'd be about 50-something. I look forward to that. I hope it happens. But I don't know. What do I know? I'm just a man. I have no idea. There are no signs indicating that. You know, they thought back at the year 1000 that Christ was going to return. They were very excited. And in their lifetime of the apostles, they thought he was going to return. And in the 1800s, they thought he was going to return. The great disappointment of 1830. It was a big disappointment because they really thought they knew. But as the days of Noah were, so shall his coming be. Oh, boy. You know, Noah was not well heeded. And the warning of his testimony of the building of the boat, as it's often conjectured, must have looked silly and may have engendered laughter. Who knows? But in the end times, as it says, when they kill the two witnesses, when God's prophets are put to death, they're going to send gifts to one another and rejoice, and they're going to be so excited. They're going to get married, and they're going to give people in marriage. They're going to be eating and drinking and celebrating and enjoying. And then suddenly, it's like the days of Belteshazzar. They're eating and drinking, and the handwriting on the wall says, numbered, weighed, and wanting. It's taken away. It's given to others. And the Lord is going to come and take the kingdom away. He's going to take it for himself. They're going to be surprised. They're going to be taken unaware. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. When's he coming? You better watch. He doesn't say, relax. He could come at any time. Therefore, just believe. Do your best. And have faith. He's coming. And just don't mind that, because before anything really important happens, he's going to come. The Lord's going to come before anything you need to know would happen.